that down and look at that and see what Jesus really means when he says, I am the light of the world. And speaking of light, I want to share an adventure story that I had back in college. And if you're a student in the student ministry, you know that most of my adventure stories end in some sort of disaster, whether it's a bear chasing us away or we don't have enough equipment for snow. Whatever it is, we were always unprepared. But this adventure story is really not that bad, so it was actually okay. But one weekend, a couple of friends and myself, two friends and myself, wanted to go caving or spelunking, as some may think, in this place called Lafayette, Georgia. It's up in northwest Georgia. If you look at it on a map, it's not Lafayette. It's actually Lafayette. So if you ever go there, call it Lafayette, Georgia, just so they know. So it's up in Lafayette, Georgia. So we went to what's called Petty John's Cave. It's in Pigeon Mountain kind of area. And we wanted to go caving, spelunking. And so this was my first time ever doing it. I had never been, well, I take that back. I did go caving a couple of times at Ruby Falls in Chattanooga. But that was actually not caving. That was just walking through a lighted area. So it wasn't really caving. This was really legitimate caving. I mean, there were no lights down there. There were hardly any people. There was no tour guide. There was nothing. It was you go on your own and go through. So the first thing to have when caving is what? A light. You have to have a light. And so we all had our headlamps on, and we went into this cave. And so both of them had been before, so they kind of knew the route we were going. I had never been, so I just had my headlamp, and I was ready to go. So we began our little journey through this cave, and the whole time we're kind of crawling through cracks. We're going down these different little cliffs in the cave, all these different little obstacles. There's this one part of the cave called the pancake squeeze. It's exactly what you think. It was about 40 yards, so almost half a football field, of about 2.5 feet of clearance that you had to just crawl through. And so if you're claustrophobic, you can go ahead and tune this part out. But it was a lot of fun. And so actually, about an hour or so into our journey, we stopped and we're thinking, you know, we're pretty adventurous. Why don't we just go ahead and try to be a little bit more adventurous? So we turned off our headlamps to kind of see what it was like. And so obviously, you can imagine when you're several thousand yards into a cave system, when you turn off your headlamp, nothing. Absolutely pitch black darkness. Couldn't even see your hand. And so there was no way we could keep going through this cave without our headlamps. And so we continue. We turn them right back on because we were a little bit scared of the darkness. And so we turn them right back on and continue down down through the cave. And everything went fine. Nobody broke a leg. Nobody got stuck anywhere. It was all okay. So and my mom was happy to see us right after we were done. So we were all completely okay. But the thing about it was that darkness. When we turned out our lights, the darkness was eerie. It was scary, and it was so black. It was something I've rarely experienced, that kind of darkness. But we thought about our headlamps and how vital those headlamps were, because if we didn't have those, if we didn't have any extra batteries, or if somehow we all broke our headlamps, which could have happened, who knows, we would have had no hope of getting out. I mean, there was no way to get out because we had to have our headlamps to guide us throughout this whole path, throughout this whole journey. And so I want to talk about this morning about Jesus being that light that can guide us, being that light that guides us throughout life. And so today we're continuing the story of I Am statements made by John. So if you have a Bible, which I really hope you do, if you don't, there's a pew Bible in front of you. I encourage everyone to open up your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20 in the Pew Bible is page 894. And we're going to walk through this portion of Scripture together. And so Jesus is talking here. So let's start in verse 12. It says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' So the Pharisees said to him, 'You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true.' And Jesus answered, 'Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. And they said to him, therefore, where is your father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can freely gather here and praise you and open up the word without having the doors break down and people arresting us. Lord, we thank you that we have the freedom to do that. And so, Lord, would you speak to us this morning as we look at one of the most famous statements made by you, saying, I am the light of the world. Would you reveal that to us and direct us and guide us this morning through our message? In your name we pray. Amen. So, we're looking here at these nine verses. Jesus is in a conversation here. He's in a conversation with the Pharisees. Now, quite often does Jesus have conversations with the Pharisees, and quite often do the Pharisees oppose Jesus? Do they try to stump Jesus, try to contradict him and kind of put him in his place? But as we know throughout Scripture, that never really does happen. Jesus always wins the debate with the Pharisees. They always lose. So we're good with that. But Jesus is going on here, after talking with an adulterous woman here in chapter 8, he goes on to make this very big claim, and a claim that sometimes we may take too lightly, but he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so this morning on your handout, your bulletins, I've got three parts to verse 12. So if you're taking notes, I hope you are. They're pretty simple notes. I tried to keep them pretty simple for you. So I'm going to draw three conclusions out of verse 12. If you'd allow me to spend a good part of our time this morning in verse 12. So, looking at verse 12, where Jesus makes this big claim, the first implication is that we are incapable of providing the light. We are incapable of providing the light. Romans 3:10, Paul refers to the psalm when he says, none is righteous, no, not one. Now, when Paul says none is righteous, no, not one, that covers everybody in this room. That covers everybody inside the perimeter. That covers everybody outside the perimeter. That covers everyone. Nobody is righteous. No, not one. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. So we see those passages and all throughout Scripture that we are incapable of providing this light. Jesus is claiming to be the light, and we cannot be that light. Only He can be. John 3:19 actually says this. It says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Listen to that total depravity there of how we are not righteous. We cannot provide the light to eternal life that Jesus provides. It's confirmed all throughout Scripture. Some religions across the world would tell you that it's up to you to provide the light. You need to provide the light. It's within you. Buddhism would say the light is within you, right? Look within yourself to find those answers. Actually, one Buddhist said this. He said, with sincere efforts, you will find the light on the path. The light itself will guide you. The light of consciousness is within you. But if we read our Bibles and if we believe our Bibles, we know that we can't provide that light because we're not righteous enough to do that. We cannot provide that light. It's not up to us. We're paralyzed in the darkness. We're deep in the cave without our headlamps, without the light, unless someone provides a light to us, and that light coming through Jesus Christ. I want to point out, John Luck made a point a couple Sunday mornings ago. And a little side note, John Luck is actually in Peru right now. So this week he'll be there. Pray for him as he's in Peru. He's sharing the gospel to a hostile area. So keep him in your prayers this week, please. But John Luck made a point a couple mornings ago in our Sunday morning, how you don't have to teach a child to be bad, right? You don't have to teach a child to be bad. You teach them to be good. How many of you have children in here? A lot. So you don't have to teach them to be bad, right? Children are all too good at being bad. You know, you have to tell them, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't hit other people, don't hit your brother, no matter how good it feels. Don't do that. Be a good child. Because naturally, we are good at being bad. That's how we are born. We're born into the darkness. We're naturally lost in the darkness, and we cannot provide that light. We are incapable of providing the light. And then any light that is without Jesus Christ is not light, but darkness. Because we cannot provide that light. So, number one, we are incapable of providing the light. Number two, from verse 12, when we follow Him, we have Him. When we follow Him, we have Him. And I want to point this out to you in the text. And so when Chris or myself or Todd or the elders get up here and preach, what we're doing is we're exposing what is in the text. So expositional preaching. We're exposing what's in the text. So I want you to look here at the text and see what I'm saying when I say, when we follow Him, we have Him. Look at this connection. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So, stay with me on this. So, Jesus is the light. If we follow Him, that condition there, if we follow Him, then we have Him. We have that light. We have Jesus as our God, as our Father, our living water. We have Jesus as our light. He says, you will have the light. And that's a promise by Jesus. And He does not make empty promises. John 1:4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the life that Jesus has, He shares with those that follow Him. How incredible is that? The life that Jesus has, He shares with those that follow Him. And that life, as we see in Scriptures, gives us light. And so that light we have to see the darkness that's in the world, the light that we have to see the darkness that was within ourselves before we had Christ, we have that light to see. We're no longer blind when we follow Him. So, but we have to choose to follow Him. We have to follow that light. Now, if you walk on a dirty floor in the dark, you won't know that it's a dirty floor unless somebody does what? Flips on a light, right? You wouldn't see that it's dirty unless somebody flips on a light. So light must be given so that we can see the dirt and see the filth that is within our own lives and that is within the world. And that light has been given. That light has been given through Jesus Christ. And He claims that and He proves that to be true. He doesn't just claim to know where the light is. As you can see, He doesn't say, hey, come and follow me. I'll take you to the light. I know where the light is. Come and follow me. He'd probably have a lot of followers for that, right? But no, He doesn't say that. He says, I am the light. I am the light. You don't have to look any further. You don't have to have those sincere efforts because I am the light. You don't have to look any further. So when we follow Him, we have Him. And the third point out of verse 12 is that Jesus is the only light. Jesus is the only light. Now that may sound kind of simple, but there is no other light in this world other than Jesus Christ. And He claims that to be true. He claims that, and it's a huge claim. If we choose not to follow Jesus, then obviously we will end up in the darkness. It's either Jesus or darkness for us. There is no third option when it comes to our eternity here. We either have His light, we either have Him, or we're paralyzed in the darkness. John 14:6 says this. Says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Jesus doesn't just say He is a way or part of the life or whatever. He says, I am the way and the life and the truth. There's no other option here. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only light. He claims that and He proves it to be true when He resurrects on the third day. We talked about that last week. That's where He proved it to be true. John MacArthur puts it this way. He says, by claiming to be the light of the world, Jesus was clearly claiming to be God and to be Israel's Messiah, sent by God as a light to the nations, stated in Isaiah. Jesus Christ alone brings the light of salvation to a sin-cursed world. To the darkness of falsehood, He is the light of truth. To the darkness of ignorance, He is the light of wisdom. To the darkness of sin, He is the light of holiness. To the darkness of sorrow, He is the light of joy. and to the darkness of death, He is the light of life. So that's what Jesus means when He says, I am the light of the world. Such a big statement made by Jesus, one of the most famous statements made by Jesus. He is the only light. Jesus is the only light. And so that's verse 12. That's verse 12. We still have 8 verses to go through, but we'll go a little quicker through them, I promise. But I do want to continue as we walk through this scripture and see Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees are going to try to take Jesus down a side road. He's already claimed that He's the light of the world. And they're not very satisfied with that. They want to take Him down a side road. And Jesus is going to kind of go down that with them and use that to talk about His relationship to God. And He's going to try to say that here. So verse 13, look at this. So the Pharisees said to Him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." So a big statement made by the Pharisees. But remember that the Pharisees are really good at what they do. The Pharisees are really good listeners. Because the Pharisees are actually referring back to John 5:31. If you flip one page over, you'll see in John 5:31 where Jesus actually says, "If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true." Okay, so the Pharisees are saying, well, Jesus, here, you're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony can't be true. So, did they get Him? Did they finally stump Jesus? And of course the answer is no, because the Pharisees are clearly taking this statement out of context. Because if you think about this, John 5:31, He says, if I alone bear witness. If Jesus bears witness apart from God, then yes, that would be false. But He cannot bear witness apart from God because He is God, right? So Jesus cannot do that. And so the Pharisees were completely wrong. And then we'll see in the following verses how the Pharisees can't see. So, you know, it's kind of a good little play on words. But the Pharisees can't see all through these verses. So Jesus goes down this side road with them, and He says here in verse 14, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going." In other words, Pharisees, you just can't see. You are blind to this light. You cannot see this. You're totally blind to this light. I'm bearing witness about myself and God, but you can't understand that. John Piper sums this verse 14 up. John Piper sums it up like this. He says, Jesus is saying, I came from God, I am going to God, and you don't know God, and therefore you can't see me as the light of God, because the fact that I am from God is what it means for me to be the light of the world. And so we see that the Pharisees cannot see. They are blind to this light all throughout this passage and all throughout Scripture, that they are just blind to this light. They don't know God. They don't see Jesus as the true light of the world. And so verse 15, Jesus continues on. He says, "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one." And so Jesus judges no one, but who does? Jesus and God. We see that answered in verse 16. He says, "Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me." Look at that relationship that he's referring to here. Look at this relationship that Jesus keeps pointing back to for the Pharisees. He's trying to say, Pharisees, look, this is what I mean by saying I'm the light of the world. I am the Father. I'm trying to point you back to that and show you that. Look at that relationship. 17 and 18, Jesus says, "In your law, it's written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." And so here we see this side road that Jesus has gone down with the Pharisees and putting all the focus on God, all the focus on this relationship that Jesus and God have. He even refers to their law. He says, "In your law, it's written that the testimony of two people is true." So Jesus is quoting their law, trying to relate it back to himself and God, but they still can't see. How frustrating would that be? He says, "I'm the one who bears witness about myself and the Father who sent me." In other words, my Father and I are judge. We are one. I bear witness to Him. He bears witness to me. You're trying to point out this contradiction, but Pharisees, you are wrong. You are totally, totally wrong. And then in verse 19, we see how the Pharisees really cannot see. And it really goes further because they say in verse 19, they said to Him, "Therefore, where is your Father?" And Jesus answered, and I got to feel like Jesus may be kind of exhausted by how the Pharisees are acting here. He answers them and says, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." And so we see this lack of understanding from the Pharisees that they can't see. The Pharisees are stuck in the darkness. They are deep in the cave with no headlamp. They have no guidance. They just cannot see the light right now. They're blind to it. And then verse 20 is interesting because verse 20, John takes a moment to step back and really show how big this claim is that Jesus is making. He's really pointing out what a big claim that Jesus is making here, because he says these words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. He's going to be arrested, but his hour had not yet come. But this point right here is kind of astonishing that he didn't get arrested, because this is a big claim. And so when I look at a passage like this, it's encouraging to me because I see how bold and how strong Jesus really is. What a strong, bold Savior that we serve. A Savior that won't back down to the Pharisees trying to contradict him in every sentence that he says. That's the Jesus that we serve. And that's the Jesus that died for us and rose again on the third day, claiming everything and being true to it. And so, that's the Jesus that we serve. That's what we see here in these nine verses, that Jesus is the light of the world, a true light to the world. And so, what does all this mean? As we look at these nine verses, what does all this mean, and why should we even follow this light? And so, you've got four more lines there to take some notes. So, stay with me on these four more lines. We have, why follow the light of the world? Why follow the light of the world? And number one, because we will fall in the darkness without the light. We will fall in the darkness without the light. That's a guarantee that you're going to fall in the darkness if you don't have the light of the world. We see that by nature man is in the dark. In Ephesians it says, by nature we are children of wrath. Totally deprived, we can't do any good, we are in the darkness, we're born into it. If that's true, then we must follow the light. We must follow the light. And that light being Jesus Christ, but don't take too lightly the word follow. Because when we follow the light of the world, that means we give up our own path to follow His. We give up that path of darkness, that path that leads to nowhere, to follow Jesus' path, to follow His guidance, His direction. To follow that light. We follow that light through the cracks, through all the little turns in the cave. We follow that through life, His light. But are we willing to do that? Are we willing to follow that light? Are we willing to follow that? Or do we want to stay in the darkness? As stated in John, men loved the darkness rather than the light. Do you really want to follow the light? Or do you just want to stay in the darkness? We must truly follow Jesus and embrace Him as the true light, or we will fall in the darkness, trying to follow our own path. So that's number one. Number two, why follow the light of the world? Because if we follow, we become His light to the world. If we follow, we become His light to the world. Now let me explain what I mean here. Matthew 5:14 says this: "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." So this light that we have, if we follow Him, this light that we have is not meant to be hidden. It's not meant to be covered and kept to ourselves in our nice little homes. It's not meant to be covered and hidden. It's meant to be shown. It's totally meant to be shown. And we see that we have the light, right? Remember back in verse 12, when we follow Him, we have Him. We have that light. And that light should not be kept from people who are stumbling in the darkness. All around us. When you go to lunch today, all around us, people are stumbling in the dark. And that light is not meant to be hidden from them. It's not meant to be. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be treasured. It's meant to be proclaimed to all the world. So if we follow Him, we become His light to the world. Number three, why follow the light of the world? Because light is more powerful than darkness. Light is more powerful than darkness. This world is really messed up. I think you would all agree with me that this world is pretty dark and messed up. You know, there's so much happening. There's there's Christians in Kenya being murdered for their faith. It's legal to murder a baby in the womb. I mean, this world is really messed up, dark, and scary. But hear me when I say that light is always more powerful than darkness. There is no darkness that is dark enough to cover light. There is not any darkness that can overcome that. In a dark room, if you're in the darkest, deepest cave in the world, even the slightest little strike of a match, you will see. Because light will always overcome darkness. Satan is called the Prince of Darkness, right? He's called the Prince of Darkness. But we know that the light of the world will always overcome the Prince of Darkness. Always. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it," because the darkness cannot overcome it. Light is always more powerful than darkness. And when we are children of God, when we believe Him, when we follow Him truly, we take part in that light. That's the exciting thing. We can rest firm and know that the darkness of this world cannot overcome the light that we have. We can be encouraged by that and know that our light is always going to be stronger than that darkness. Number four, why follow the light of the world? Because light gives guidance. Light gives guidance. I'll take you back to the cave in Lafayette, Georgia. If we didn't have a light down there, we would not have been able to do anything. We had to have some sort of light to guide us. There was no hope to stay on the path without that light. But the light that Jesus has, that light gives us direction. That light gives us guidance. Through every part of life, we can trust that light that is meant to be followed, we can follow it. And we can go through life with His light. And we can find that light, we can find the truth of that light here in the Scriptures. We can find it here in the Scriptures. This book is the Word of God, the inerrant Word of God. We went to a 5-day conference devoted to the Word of God being inerrant. This is the Word of God, and this Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, right? That's what this Word is. Now, we use light to evaluate things, right? You know, a mechanic will get under a car and shed light on it somewhere to see things better, right? We use light to evaluate things. Do you use this Bible to truly evaluate things? To see this world better? To see the light and use it for guidance and direction through life? Or does it just sit on the shelf and get dusty? Are we using this light, this Bible, for guidance, for direction? So Jesus is the light of the world. Are we following Him as such? Are we following Jesus as the light of the world? Have you committed your life to following Him as the light of the world? Or are you still stuck in that darkness? Are you still kind of feeling like you're a little bit paralyzed in the darkness by this completely dark world? Well, there's some encouragement. Because John 12:46, Jesus says this. He says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in Me may not remain in darkness." You don't have to stay in the darkness. You don't have to stay there. You can believe and follow Jesus as the true light of the world. That's what He means. And as believers in Jesus Christ, what an encouragement this is, because we are His light. Don't hide that. Don't keep that from people in this world. People need to see that we have the light, and we need to be proud to share that. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For at one time you were darkness." Every single one of us at one time was darkness. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." So I pray that as we go from here, if you haven't committed your life to Jesus, think about that. Think about what it would be to follow the light of the world and follow His path and His direction and His guidance. And as believers, be encouraged. Be pumped up that we can go out of here and share the light of the world. Because that's incredible. And there's a command there. Walk as children of the light. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for this morning. We thank You that we can see that You are the light of the world.